This is it. College football starts this week on Thursday, to be exact, as, of course, Michigan will open up things against Utah. Michigan State hits the road and takes on Western on Friday night. Oh, boy. And then you have a plethora of games throughout the rest of the weekend. It's going to be a fantastic week of chatter, debate, rankings. It's going to be a fantastic week right here on the show, and we encourage you all to weigh in. Again, you can call in throughout this entire hour, 517-355-9527. On today's Current Sports, we will be chatting about what took place Friday night in the world of high school football. Also, a former Michigan State quarterback has been named as the guy, as the man, numero uno on the depth chart at the quarterback position for the Washington Redskins. We'll chat about who that individual is and how it came about. We'll also have weekend winners for you, discuss new developments on Deflategate, and again, talk a lot of college football, all of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this August 31st. Folks, well, later on in the show, we'll give you a quick rundown on the final results on the various high school football games that took place on Thursday and Friday. But I want to bring up a few of the individual leaders from Friday night's high school football roundup. Now, in passing, we had Jake Littweiler of Lakewood passing for 297 yards, Nick Semke of Fowlerville with 213 yards, and Tony Poljan, is he good or what, for Lansing Catholic, throwing for 198 yards. On the ground, Latone Smith of Lansing Eastern High School on the ground for 248 yards. Scott Pemberton of Fowler, he had 198 yards on the ground. Dallas O'Green of Carson City Crystal had 174 yards. And in receiving, we had Colton Antis of Fulton. He had 136 yards receiving. Montana Reagan of Williamson, 118 yards. And Kyle Tackett of Waverly with 108 yards. Again, later on the hour, we'll have plenty of high school football discussion for you, recapping what took place last week. You don't want to miss that chatter. All right, folks, the Washington Redskins have named former Michigan State University quarterback Kirk Cousins as their starting QB for the 2015 year. The Redskins coaching staff informed players on Monday morning that Cousins would start against the Miami Dolphins. The Redskins' decision to start Cousins comes amid turmoil surrounding quarterback Robert Griffin III, who missed Saturday's preseason game because of concussion symptoms. Martin Mayhew, the Lions GM, sent backup kicker Kyle Brinza to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today in exchange for tight end Tim Wright. Now, the Detroit Lions are also planning to waive wide receiver Ryan Broyles today, 2 days after he asked for his release in a meeting with GM Mayhew. Now, Broyles, the Lions' second-round NFL draft pick in 2012, played just 21 games over three injury-riddled seasons with the team. He was used sparingly this preseason. The MSU men's basketball team has finished up play out in Italy. The four-game summary reads as such. 144-point blowout win over a club team. Lopsided losses to loaded Russian and Italian national teams. Then yesterday, 71-70 loss to the Georgian national team in Trieste. Now on Sunday, they nearly stole a win when senior guard Bryn Forbes just missed a shot from about 40 feet away at the buzzer to win the entire enchilada. All right, in an exciting home opener, the Spartan women's soccer team held off the University of Dayton Flyers 2-1 at DeMartin Stadium. Now, taking a much-needed recovery week, the Spartans will return to their home pitch on September 6th against the University of Notre Dame. In an aggressive battle, the number 9 Michigan State men's soccer team fell to Oregon State 1-0 at the Henser Zahir Classic in Corvallis on Sunday. With the loss, Michigan State falls to 1-1 this year, while Oregon State improves to 2-0. The Spartans return home to begin a five-game homestand starting on Friday against Niagara. At 4 p.m., Michigan State will then have a Labor Day battle with West Virginia on Monday, September 7th at 2 p.m. The NFL and Tom Brady have failed to reach a settlement in the quarterback's appeal of his four-game suspension for his involvement in the Deflategate scandal. U.S. District Court Judge Richard M. Berman announced today that the sides will not settle the case, saying that he will announce a ruling as early as tomorrow and no later than Friday. And how about this, man? He was unbelievable yesterday. Jake Arrieta, he pitched the sixth no-hitter in the majors this year and second against the L.A. Dodgers in 10 days, leading the Chicago Cubs to a 2-0 victory Sunday night. Arrieta, he struck out a season-high 12 and became the first 17-game winner in the big leagues by throwing baseball's third no-hitter in less than 3 weeks. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number to call, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet little old me at AlMartinWKR. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Al Martin, and you are right now tuned into Current Sports. How about Jake Arrieta yesterday? How good was that, right? A no-hitter in the Chicago Cubs. I mean, wow. Unbelievable season for them. They actually right now, of course, hold down a wild card spot in the National League, and they look pretty good. Very, very good. And everything seems to be clicking. I mean, they're one of the most exciting teams in baseball. And, you know, I got that notification at Arrieta. He had a no-hitter, after the sixth inning. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, my goodness, he could really do this. So I turned over to ESPN and saw him complete that bid yesterday. Congrats to the Cubs. And you know, if you're a Chicago Cubs fan out there, I mean, I know you've been hurting for a while. But, hey. This may be your year. You got to have a smile on your face right now. I mean, because you guys are just completely rolling. And how about the New York Yankees? They also had a pretty interesting win over the weekend. What, 20 runs, I think it was? Absolutely unbelievable. You know, the Toronto Blue Jays, they're just rolling as we speak. I mean, man, some good baseball being played by some unexpected teams and teams that you didn't really fathom, this kind of success going into the year. But, man, oh, man, that was exciting to watch. One of the most difficult things to do in sports, a no-hit bid. All right, folks, we have a great show. Heck, we have a great week in store for you right here on WKAR's Current Sports. I'm excited because college football returns. Oh, boy. Can I get a hand clap? Give it up for that. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited. That's exciting stuff, Isaac, because, you know, we've been waiting for this for a while. We know how the summer is, right? I mean, you kind of get for me at least, I'm just speaking from my perspective. I mean, as soon as the NBA Finals is done with, it's like, all right, time to watch a lot of golf and a lot of baseball. And we all know they play far too many games in the world of baseball, if you ask me. It just gets boring after a while until the playoffs start, especially once you get, you know, near that, especially near the middle of the year. It's like, okay, come on now. Can we speed this up a little bit? And then, you know, I tell you what, golf has surely been entertaining to watch with all the young talent. And congrats to Jason Day. We'll get to Jason later on in the show. But golf has been pretty fun to watch this year as well, I must say. But we all know which sport is top dog here in America. We all know what people lose their minds for. We all know what is the only sport that networks like ESPN will dedicate an entire hour for when just the schedule is released. And that's the sport of football. I mean, the NFL and college football, folks. It's so exciting. So exciting. And this week, marks the very start of the year for Division I college football, or college football across the board, I should say. It gets kicked off, of course, on Thursday when Michigan takes on Utah. Michigan is looked at as an underdog in that game. They lost to Utah last year as well. If you remember, that was, a 26-10 victory for the Utes. And then Isaac and I will actually be hitting the road to go cover the Western Michigan and Michigan State game. Michigan State traveling on the road to KZU. I don't think I've ever covered a game at Western Michigan University. This will be my first one, Isaac. And, you know, the stadium's so compact, and, you know, it's a night game. You better believe, and this being the very first game of the year for Western, the students are going to be rowdy. The fans alike are going to be crazy. It's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. So Isaac and I will be manning the sidelines, bringing you guys coverage of that game that night and over in the weekend as well for Current Sports TV. So I'm just excited for it, man, because I've been waiting for it for quite some time. Michigan State certainly has a ton of expectations going into the year. They're number 5 in the AP poll. We're going to get to all of that chatter later on in the show because, man, and we're going to, and throughout this week, folks, I want you guys to call in. I mean, if you have any thoughts on this college football year, do you have your 4 college football playoff teams? I want to know that. How do you think Michigan and Michigan State are going to finish in the Big Ten? Do you have a sleeper team out there that maybe no one's talking about? Do you even have a Heisman Trophy winner or a name that you want to throw out there? Call in, folks. I'm curious to hear what's on your noggin. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know, a pretty busy weekend for me, kind of crazy because, you know, last week I was doing play-by-play for the start of high school football, which also is exciting in this area. We all know how crazy, the communities around Michigan are when it comes to football and just high school sports in general. So especially football, though. I mean, under those Friday night lights, under the Thursday night lights, I should say, looking at last week's countless openers that we had and we recounted on Friday's show. But it's just an unbelievable atmosphere when you go to a mid-Michigan Friday night or Thursday night high school football game, right? And I did 2 games last week for the team 92-1. I was on the air with Eric Doc Love, who is a high school sports commentator. We actually had Eric on last week's show. I believe that was Thursday or Friday. One of those days. I mean, you know, the days get jumbled up after a while, folks. I mean, because it's starting to get really crazy and hectic in the sporting world. But anyway, I was on the air with Doc, and we had a great time. We actually called the Portland and Ovid LC game on Thursday night, and then we were at the East Lansing and St. John's game on Friday. 2 entertaining games. That when you look at the final score doesn't tell the entire story of just how close those 2 games were. But fun stuff. And also even our engineer, Isaac Constance, he was at the Lansing Eastern and Williamston game and is going to give us a quick recap of that game in just a sec. But just exciting stuff. An exciting time here at Mid-Michigan. You know, I drove into campus today, you know, and immediately realized that my commute from my apartment, which is about, 7 minutes away from the Communication Arts and Sciences building where we record this very show in Studio S. And, you know, when I would, you know, usually my commute, you know, this summer has been, you know, just easy peasy, no traffic, nothing. But today it was a bit crowded because, of course, freshmen, I believe, moved in yesterday And everyone else moves in on campus right now as we speak. So it's crazy. I mean, students are everywhere. But it's also exciting because you can just feel in the air that Mid-Michigan just got a lot more busier, without a doubt. More specifically, East Lansing just got a lot more busier, okay? And I want to invite right now Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, you all settled into your spot, my man?
Yeah, Al, I actually moved in a week ago just because I was up here doing this. So, but it is nice having campus a little bit more popping, a little bit more bumping, because you know, you and I both know, summer, we've always got a lot to talk about. We've got plenty, but now we've got to start making choices on what to talk about and what to exclude. We've got our cream of the crop we get to pick. It's great. So, and campus, it'll be lively. And you're right, football starts this Friday. I can't believe it. This Thursday. This Friday for Michigan State. But this Thursday. Wow.
Yeah, crazy stuff, man. And I'm certainly looking forward to it. And again, later on in the hour, we're going to get into a very brief college football discussion. But I first want to start off the show by talking about what occurred last week in the world of high school football. It was so busy. Just to give you guys a quick score rundown, I mean, if you saw my desk right now, I have notes everywhere, folks, so bear with me. On Thursday, I'm just going to rattle off a few interesting games that really caught my eye. Mason and Okemos, they went at it, and wow, talk about scoring, right? If you like high-powered offenses, I mean, 56-30. In favor of the Mason Bulldogs. So, yeah, a lot of scoring there. Linden at DeWitt on Thursday as well. DeWitt won that contest 38-14. Looking at some of Friday's games here, you had Langsburg beating Perry 34-26. Here's a Thursday game for you. Hudsonville at Holt. Hudsonville topping Holt 28-14. Even though that's the first game of the year, yeah, and it starts off with a loss for Holt. I really think that first-year head coach Chad Folk is going to do a great job with the Rams. Also on Thursday, Madison Heights at Pewaumont, Westphalia. How about PW squeaking out a one-point victory over Madison Heights? Looking at Friday again here, Eastern at Williamston. This is a game that that Isaac was at. Williamston pulling out that win 42-18. Latone Smith, 15 attempts. 248 yards, two touchdowns. Unbelievable stuff there, folks. And we'll get to him in just a sec. Also on Friday, you had Fowler at Maple Valley. Fowler pulling out a 20-8 win. And last game I'll announce here on Friday as well, Lansing Catholic pulling out a 28-13 win over Waverly. And if you would have talked to Jim Ahern after that game, I mean, you would have thought that Jim Ahern actually lost that game. All right, folks, he's so critical. He has a critical eye for his team and where they should be and how they should play. And that's what makes Jim Ahern such a great coach. He expects so much out of his squad, even though it is the first game of the year. Tony Boljan, he went 11 of 20 for 198 yards, two touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, such a busy week, of course, with opening week of high school football, Isaac. There's so many storylines to talk about. I love it because when looking at the possibilities for each team, especially those teams right here in Mid-Michigan, you know, who are possibly dreaming of a state championship, I mean, it all starts here. It all starts now. And I like when teams really test themselves at the beginning of the year, Isaac, to find out where those holes are on both sides of the football. Because, you know, if you play a tough team to start off your year, you get that out of your system, and you know where those weak spots are and where to improve upon as the season moves on. So fun stuff there. And, you know, one of those games, I mean, Lansing Everett going on the road and playing LeBron James's, you know, former high school, St. Vincent St. Mary. You know, they lost 34-20, but I'm sure they learned a lot in that game. And Marcel Carruthers, I think, is going to do one fantastic job. Going back to your game, though, Isaac, I mean, Lansing Eastern at Williamston. Williamston winning, you know, it's a lopsided victory, 42-18. But that, of course, doesn't tell the entire story. Latone Smith, he really made headlines across the entire state for what he was able to do. 248 yards on the ground. What did you see from that game?
Al, Latone Smith, what people forget about that, too, is on the defensive side, he had a couple big hits, but he also had an interception, and he left halfway through the fourth quarter. Let's hope he's all right. So he even missed half a quarter. And that last drive of the game, when he was a big part of getting the ball down the field, they actually converted that, so that will have been more yards for him. He might have got 300 had he not gotten hurt. So, Latone Smith, incredible athlete. He's a powerful running back. Lansing Eastern went to a lot of I formations, and it's really a power running game where Latone would just pick his lane and run it up and break through a couple tackles. He had one run that was 65 yards and another that was 79. So he's a big play guy with breakaway speed. And then on the other side of the ball, Williamston has a couple of great players as well. You talk about first-year starter Jake Westfall at the quarterback position. His hard counts led to 8 offsides probably from the defense, something really nice. And also his reads were sublime throughout the game. And then Montana Reagan, his receiver, 118 yards in the air, but also over 100 yards on the ground. So this is a connection that we could see develop throughout the season.
Yeah, certainly. Looking at Jake Westfall's number, I mean, he was 10 of 15, 174 yards, one touchdown, threw 2 INTs. Overall, great stat line for him, though. And you bring up running back Montana Reagan, over 100 yards, both through the air and on the ground. So he's very, very impressive. But, you know, in looking at, you know, what Troy Matlock has at his hands here at Lansing Eastern, of course, this is a squad that has not been great in, you know, in a long, long time. And Troy Matlock coming in his first year as head coach, you know, he has certainly a stud to work with in Smith. But I'm curious, when looking at that game, is there anything that this team can build upon other than their running game? And of course, you know, not just relying on Smith here, Isaac, because, you know, those numbers, I mean, kind of remind me of when Le'Veon Bell was here and when Kirk Cousins was manning the helm. Basically, the MSU offense was give the ball to Le'Veon Bell, let him do work, mixing a few pass plays here and there. And Michigan State was pretty successful with that. But you have to have a guy who's durable. And we all know, I mean, if you're constantly giving the ball off to your running back, I mean, he had 15 attempts. I mean, injuries can happen. And you mentioned an injury for Smith. You
said
he did get hurt in that game. Is he all right? Was it serious?
No updates on that, but he was able to walk off on the field under his own power. So he should be okay for the next game. And he's a power back, too. He's a workhorse. He'll be fine, I'd expect. We'll have to get an update on that, though. But, yeah, there's plenty for Eastern to build upon this game, because last year, the same game to start the season, score was 53-6. This time, it was 48-12, and it's 42-18, rather. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, too, this game was 7-0 at halftime, and then right after halftime, after Smith scored those 2 touchdowns, it was 13-12, and Eastern then grabbed an onside kick. So Eastern had momentum. What killed them was the short passing game more than anything else. But their deep coverage was great. If they can get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback and be a little bit more disruptive on screen plays and wide receiver sweeps, no, this team is not going 1-8 again this year, and I expect a total turnaround.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for that report out there, Isaac. And folks will actually get to check out highlights from that very game this week on Current Sports TV. And, of course, my guest for this week will be Curtis Blackwell, who, of course, is the recruiting coordinator for the Michigan State football team. So you don't want to miss that episode. Really quick rundown of the game that I announced on Friday night. Isaac, of course, I covered the East Lansing and St. John's game, and it was the game of the week on many folks' radar. We had a great time out there. I was alongside, of course, Eric Doc Love. And pretty interesting game, because at halftime of that game, it was actually 6-0. East Lansing had the lead. They had all momentum on their side. St. John's really couldn't get anything going, especially offensively. I mean, the offense was pretty stagnant. Stephen Litton, though, I mean, he just exploded in that second half. Stephen Litton is a running back for St. John's. He had a net gain of 146 yards. He was absolutely unbelievable. He had 2 touchdowns in that fourth quarter to propel St. John's into that 19-6 win. He was absolutely fantastic. So 146 yards on the ground on 16 carries. He was unbelievable. He was a workhorse. As far as both quarterbacks go, Hunter Helmick, he went 8 of 17 for East Lansing for 79 yards. And Blake Thalen for St. John's, he was 6 of 13 for 65 yards. Overall, decent play, I would say. I don't think either one of those quarterbacks had a horrid night. You know, it's just all about ironing out those wrinkles. There were a ton of turnovers throughout that game, a ton of turnovers. And, you know, both quarterbacks just really couldn't find a flow as that game went on. I mean, looking here, I'm looking at, you know, both squads here. I mean, there were three fumbles on both sides. And the interesting thing, when you look at both Helmick and Thalen's stats, they didn't throw any interceptions. It was mostly a run attack game when both squads tried to get something going. So Stephen Linton, of course, I mentioned him for the Red Wings. He was the workhorse for them. And for the Trojans, it was a brother duo of Noah Holbrook and Darian Holbrook. Actually, Noah went out of the game at one point. Looks as though he was cramping up a bit. Well, actually, Stephen Linton was cramping up a bit and came back. But Noah Holbrook, I mean, it looked as though he went down with an apparent injury of some sort. He comes back in the game and was absolutely fantastic. You know, he had one touchdown. He had a net gain of 109 yards on the ground. Darian, his brother, had 42 yards on the ground. Just great play on the ground for both teams. But a lot of weapons, even though East Lansing lost this game, a lot of weapons for East Lansing as the season moves forward. We all know about Kentre Patterson. He's been a star for this team ever since he's donned the blue and white jersey. He really couldn't get off because of just some communication issues between Helmick and himself. B.J. Powell, we all know how great he is. So there's a lot to work with for Bill Farocco and that team. But, you know, hey, great start for Dave Mirigy. We all know how competitive that man is, right? And, you know, for anyone, for all those teams who got that first win on the season, I mean, this could be, you know, hey, what you're five away from making the postseason. That's how you got to look at things. You just take it one game at a time because it's still a very long season. Actually, this weekend, I will be at, on Thursday, I should say, at the Eaton Rapids game as they take on Mason, a team that, of course, blew out Okemos 56-30. Eaton Rapids, they topped Jackson Northwest in a very close game on Friday night. 24-21, the final of that one. And head coach Mike Smith, salute to you, my man, because Eaton Rapids, these past 2 years, they're the most impressive team. When you talk about turning around your demise to success, I mean, Mike Smith has done one of the best coaching jobs I have ever seen as a reporter in this area. Eaton Rapids, a squad that historically has been just down in the dumps for about 35 years, we're talking, folks. Mike Smith has come in. He's renewed energy. He's renewed focus. He's established chemistry between himself and the players on the team and amongst those players in their own circle. It's been an unbelievable ride so far for this squad. And again, Mike Smith, this is the second year, you know, really looking at, you know, how this success has turned around. This is the second year of really propelling this team to where it needs to be. And I'm excited to go out and cover that game. So, folks, if you happen to be at a game last week that you want to chat about, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll chat about Kirk Cousins being named as the starter. That's right, starting QB for the Washington Redskins. And also, we chat briefly with Kathy George, head coach of the Michigan State volleyball team, as they opened up their year over the weekend as well. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Big news out of the camp of the Washington Redskins. Of course, RG3, yeah, you know, I have to admit, first off, before I even go into this story, I was totally wrong. I'm not afraid to admit that I was totally wrong when evaluating RG3 and his overall presence on this team. Robert Griffin III is not the starter anymore, folks. It was announced officially about 30 minutes ago that Kirk Cousins will be the Washington Redskins starting quarterback. Not just for week one, folks. It really stands out when reading about this story. Not just for week one here, okay, folks? We're talking about for the upcoming 2015 season. Kirk Cousins, the head man in charge. This is Kirk Cousins' team. That's exactly what Gruden had to say, actually. Head coach Jay Gruden announced. He said this is, quote, Kirk's team. Wow. My jaw hit the floor. My jaw hit the floor, folks. I could not believe that when I saw this story break this morning, and it was just rumored this morning, there were a few reporters who came out and said that RG3 is kaput. He's done. He's no longer going to be the starting quarterback, and that Kirk Cousins would be the guy. I just kind of, my jaw hit the floor. I guess underestimated exactly how bad that situation was, or I should say is, out in Washington when looking at the relationship that Robert Griffin III, former rookie of the year for this team, and his relationship with the upper echelons on that squad. Unbelievable stuff. And, you know, because a lot of people have been talking about this as well, looking at how Robert Griffin was handled during that Detroit Lions preseason game, I mean, he was put on his butt, you know, throughout most of his tenure. He got a concussion, for goodness sake. And you would have thought that after that DeAndre Levy tackle that put Robert just right on the ground, and you could hear the oohs and ahs of the crowd once that hit occurred, even the announcers, they went to the replay, and I hurt for RG3 when he got hit then. You would think, with knowing this is the preseason, folks, this isn't a regular season game, you would think, all right, Jay Gruden would be like, all right, come to the bench. That's it. You're done. We got to rest you. We can't risk any injury here. You're our starting guy. But no. What does Gruden do? He leaves him in the football game. Any other coach, if that was their starting quarterback, that would have been it. Done. You are done. But, you know, that situation right there against the Detroit Lions in that preseason game just sort of capsulizes the relationship that RG3 has with Gruden and others in the upper echelons of the Washington Redskins camp. So Kirk Cousins now, you know, and just looking at that game, you know, Colt McCoy came in as number two guy that game, did a fabulous job. Kirk Cousins had an okay outing. It was kind of rocky to start, but, you know, he ended up, you know, leading his team down the field and also passed for a passing TD. So both Colt McCoy and Cousins had a passing TD in that game. But I didn't think that, you know, Kirk Cousins would be named as the number one guy. You know, and that's why I say you never know what's going on in camp. You know, Kirk Cousins is clearly winning that battle over McCoy, clearly winning that battle over RG3. And now the conversation, you know that rises from this whole thing is what is going to happen to Robert Griffin III. Is there any team out there that is going to give him a shot and possibly, you know, name him as the guy? Or will RG3 ride this thing out and try to compete to get his job back? I don't see that happening because I think, you know, the relationship seems pretty, pretty bad right now. And they may try to ship RG3 somewhere else. But congratulations to former Michigan State quarterback Kirk Cousins getting another chance, getting another shot. Of course, looking at last year, he had a shot, you know, for a very brief period to be the starting guy. Two very rocky outings, and that was it for him. But now, this is Kirk's team. And hey, I don't see Spartans failing twice, folks. I think he's going to do a good job. I don't know. I think this is the best move for this team, just to move on from RG3 and put that chapter in back of him. So, folks, call in 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines right now, actually. Right now, we've got one of our favorite callers on line one. My man, Mike from Saginaw. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hello there, L. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, how about you, man?
I'm doing next week. You off Monday? Next week?
No, we will be right here working.
Okay, you on Labor Day.
Yes. Labor Day. It never stops. Football season, it never stops, baby. No breaks here.
All right, man. What I was going to, the reason I was telling your screener about the Tigers, what I was going to tell you, like in cities like Detroit, I noticed that our callers, they don't criticize the Tigers harshly like they do in New York. And because sometimes I listen to the New York station late at night. Mm-hmm. And other markets, you know, I know New York is bigger than Detroit, of course. But, I mean, do you think the media here give the kind of gave DeBrusque a pass, or you just figure that the fans really here, they just kind of take – they're not as hardcore about the Tigers as they is, like, in Boston or New York or cities that or Washington?
Well, I think that you first off had to evaluate and compare – the markets and the, you know, the history in which they've had success. I mean, the last World Series that the Detroit Tigers had, Mike, was back in 1984 with the Bless You Boys era. I mean, the New York Yankees.
They won that one.
Right, in which they won that one. And for mm-hmm. New York and Boston, I mean, they've won recent World Series. And the Yankees in particular kind of remind me of, like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are how they are in the NFL. I mean, they're expected. That organization is expected to compete for a World Series every single year. And to be frank with you, it wasn't until Dave Dombrowski took over this squad that you really started to see a change in the Detroit organization that they could consistently compete for a World Series. So I think the reason why you see that fandom not as harsh compared to other big markets like New York and Boston, as you just mentioned, is because mm-hmm. of the recent history of winning when you compare Detroit to those squads. With success, that comes attention.
What I should have said is like St. Louis. You know, St. Louis, they always win and they always feel a competitive team. It's not like they got a big size market like Detroit even, you know, but they always competitive, they always winning, and I mean an organization like that, an organization that is great from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. And you know what now? Uh-huh. Yeah, and you know what now, Mike, I think the reason why you don't even hear Detroit fans even bother with the Tigers now is because, I mean, my goodness, I mean, what they won like one game out of the past like 12 we're talking here. And, you know, they had a 15-1 loss against Toronto on Saturday. I mean, just ugly. They seem to always be finding new ways to lose. They traded everybody before the trade deadline, clearly selling the team. Dave Dombrowski's now out in Boston. I think everyone has realized that the Tigers are thrown in the towel and that people really don't even want to bother with the team now and waste their time with the team as of right now, Mike.
All right, then. Let me ask you this. Did you see the VMA? Here's a good question for the VMA last night.
Yeah.
Is Nicki Minaj and Miley Cyrus, are they really musicians or are they just performance artists?
Man, just they're not musicians. They're just artists, Mike. For me, you know, it's funny because you bring up those too, because I watched the VMAs last night. I don't even know why I wasted my time watching it, because I thought it was one of the most, you know, just lackluster award shows I've ever watched in my life. But there was like a moment between Nicki Minaj, which I'm probably sure you saw, between Nicki Minaj and Miley Cyrus, where like Nicki Minaj like called out Miley after her acceptance mm-hmm. speech. I don't know if it was staged though, because if you really look at her first comments to Miley, she looks over at her and there was like a little smile at the end. So it might have been staged. I don't know.
I mean, the reason why I just glance at it now, I don't really, because they don't play music videos on that channel.
No, they don't.
They play them like early in the morning, I think, but I don't really watch that channel often because what happened once they start putting The Real World on there and all these other things on there,
right.
I kind of lost interest in it, man. But, you know, I think what happened is, if they're going to call themselves a music channel, play music. If you don't change the name and call it something else, that's what I'm fronting about that, really.
No, I hear it.
Because,
in fairness to MTV, though, if you were to turn, you know, to, like, MTV Jams and MTV, you know, and the other, like, hybrid shows of MTV, they do show, like, music videos throughout the entire day. I actually sometimes, when I'm just maxing and relaxing at my apartment doing work, I mean, I'll put on, like, MTV Jams, and they'll, like, have music videos, like, 24-7. So, but nobody really watches. Not on the main network, though. They don't do that on the main network. It's, like, filled with reality TV.
What they did, too, is they put it on their music. All the music channels they had, like, Country Music Television, BET.
Yeah.
I think, was it Comedy Central? One of these other, VH1, for sure. They put all the war shows on all these other cable channels.
Right, exactly.
And what,
yeah.
And what gets me is, okay, I mean, I have grown up with Dr. Dre and Straight Outta Compton decade, man, when they played nothing but music.
Yeah.
And now I just look at it. I mean, do anybody, is it any musicality in any of these artists? I mean, I'm serious. Even Kanye West. I mean, you could talk and rhyme over a drum machine and everything. That's fine and everything else. But I'm talking about the pure musicality. Is you going to be able to be a producer, to be able to distinguish horn sounds and guitars and drums and bass and things of that nature?
I hear you, and that's a big criticism of today's music. I think varies from person to person. But, hey, Mike, great insight, my brother. We just don't talk sports here,
thank
right?
You. Yeah, we talk about every little bit of thing, man.
My man,
thanks
all right.
Thanks for giving me the forum, brother.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Good to hear from you, man. And go State. Go
hey,
Spartans.
Can't wait. This weekend, baby. This weekend.
That's
all right.
That is it.
Gotta
all
love
right,
Mike.
Then. All right. Thank you.
All right. Call in, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Yeah, did you catch the VMAs, Isaac? I mean, it was just a terrible show, first off.
Oh.
Kanye West gets up there and gives like an I Have a Dream speech for like 30 minutes. And I'm sitting there saying, what in the world are you even talking about at this point? I almost fell asleep during the speech. It's the big talk of the town, though, everywhere, man. Yeah.
I'm never a fan of these music award shows. I'll listen to music, and it's just like I can look that up and see a picture of somebody receiving an award. I don't want to see that.
The only reason I tune in for is for the only reason I tune in for is for the performances. That's it. I like to see performances. I like to see, you know, it's kind of like a mini concert. You know what I mean? And
yeah, but half the time they're staged and pre-recorded anyway, I feel like.
Well, that's the cool thing about the VMAs is always live. So some crazy stuff happened live as well concerning Miley Cyrus that I won't get into right now. But anyway, call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Go back to Kirk Cousins real quick, Isaac, before we hit our break here. Congrats to Kirk Cousins because this gives him another shot to show what he can do in the NFL. And I really think that Kirk has gotten better. He's a hard worker. He was a hard worker when he was here at Michigan State. And I really think he has improved from where he was last year. Clearly, seeing as though Jay Gruden has given him another shot at being the starting quarterback. Last year, of course, due to injury. This year, kind of due to injury because of the whole concussion thing with RG3. And RG3, just at the end of the day, isn't cutting the mustard for this team and hasn't been since, you know, he was a rookie, you know, when he was rookie of the year. So Kirk Cousins, he's clearly winning the battle for that number two position in training camp, and he's got a shot now. And it's so interesting looking at that press conference and what was said, because Jay came out and didn't just say, yeah, Kirk is going to be the starter for week one when I think they play with the Miami Dolphins in week one. But he said this is, quote, Kirk's team for the upcoming 2015 season, meaning Kirk is the guy. This is his season. So congratulations to Kirk. I hope he really does a great job, but it really is just a fiasco out in Washington. And it's really disheartening to see where RG3 has fallen in his career now, Isaac.
Oh, I think part of it is RG3 has fallen. And part of it is Washington has pushed them down again and again. Like you said, against the Lions, they kept leaving him in. That's the story of last season as well and the season before. And guess what? I'm happy that Kirk's getting his chance because he seems like a stand-up guy. And I think he's got a lot of potential to be a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. But at the same time, even when they drafted RG3, they didn't give him their total token of confidence. Because they drafted Kirk that same draft in the fourth round. That's high to select a quarterback after you select a quarterback with the second overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
RG3, they were never convinced by him. I wish he would have been able to go to a team that really trusted him and saw him as the future of a franchise. And then we could have actually seen what RG3 could have become. It's not too late for him, but it is too late for him at Washington. He needs a new start. But Kirk, I told you, we had this debate earlier.
I was wrong. I was dead wrong. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong, and I was dead wrong. I thought that Colt McCoy was the guy. I mean, and watch, if you were just to make an evaluation on that Lions preseason game, it's not like I'm tuning in you know, every preseason game that the Washington Redskins play.
What?
No, exactly. Surprising, right? Yeah. So for what I saw from that game, I mean, Colt McCoy is the guy. Especially seeing as though what Kirk did last year, I would assume that you know, crossing my T's and dotting my I's, that Kirk was going to be the third guy on that roster. But I mean, clearly, you know, I'm not seeing everything that's happening in training camp. Clearly, Kirk is certainly impressing and turning some heads there. So it's going to be his team. But this squad, I mean, my gosh, I was listening to a few radio personalities this morning, and you know, some people on Mike and Mike, you know, breaking it down when the news first came through. And there are many people that believe that the Washington Redskins are the most embarrassing franchise in all of North American sports.
Don't you?
Right now. They are. I do.
I think so too.
It's that bad. Right now, the Washington Redskins are at the bottom barrel of professional teams here in America because of what has gone down these past few years, the fiasco. And let's be honest here, RG3 has sort of brought this on himself too. If you remember when he got hurt, and you know, he comes back with what was it, the Adidas campaign?
Yeah.
Where he's you know, on television and on commercials talking about how he's going to come back and prove the doubters wrong and blah, blah, blah. Don't draw unnecessary attention to yourself. Go in there, grab your lunch pail, put on your hard hat, and go to work. Handle that stuff internally. You don't have to air it out and make a commercial about it, dude. It's one thing if you can back it up. It's one thing if you're like Floyd Mayweather and you can talk all that jazz, go out there and do it. But if you don't back it up, you make yourself look like an idiot. And it's a two-way street with this whole thing. But, yeah, Kirk Cousins, though. I'm excited to see him play. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hear our second break, excuse me. When we come back, we'll have weekend winners for you and so much more. You are listening to The Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, college football begins this weekend. I'm excited for it. I'm sure you are as well. Of course, Michigan State opens the year on the road against Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. We'll be out there to cover that one. Michigan begins things for the entire college football season with their matchup against Utah on Thursday. Isaac, have you been debating and kind of throwing around, you know, teams that you think are going to make the playoff? Do you have four teams that you think are going
to
make it?
I would have four off the top of my head, but if I had to guess, I think Ohio State, of course, makes it. I think Alabama makes it. I think TCU actually makes it this time around. And then I think Michigan State really stands a chance. I'm going to slot them in at that number four. And I think the winner of the Oregon-Michigan State game likely gets to that playoff because I see both teams maybe losing one game in conference. So whoever finishes 11-1, in my opinion, gets that fourth spot.
I believe, probably off the top of my dome, and this may change. I've been kind of doing some debating and deliberating about, you know, if I could choose four teams. Now, I think everyone across the board agrees that Ohio State is going to be there. I really think, now looking at this college football year, Isaac, it's like Ohio State, everyone believes that, okay, they're that squad that has everything intact, and they're a team that's going to be in the playoff. There's like a general consensus when looking at OSU. It's like OSU and then everyone else. I mean, because I've heard, you know, and breaking down so many teams, I really legitimately feel like, Isaac, that there's 15, 16, even 17 teams that you can realistically make a case for to be in the college football playoff, and realistically that you can make a case for that they wouldn't be in the college
Definitely.
Football playoff. I've never seen it this wide open in college football, because it's like OSU and then everyone else.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, so for me, if I could throw out a few, man, I would probably say, it's off the top of my dome, I think we'll go to MSU, OSU, of course. So you have two Big Ten teams. I don't think Bama's making it because of their quarterback situation. They don't even have a solidified number one right now. Especially, I don't think they have a playmaker right now offensively, if you ask me. That's still up to debate. And their defense is going to be good. Their defense is good every year. But without a quarterback, they still are deliberating on that. And without a number one playmaker, that's going to cause them problems this season. I think when looking at the Big 12, the Big 12 is like what? You know, TCU, Baylor, and then everybody else in that conference. You know what I mean? I really think that, you know, I don't think people can sleep on Oklahoma this year, Texas. And I really think the Big 12 overall and college football overall is better when Oklahoma and Texas are better because they are two of the renowned college football programs in the sport. So don't sleep on Oklahoma. They're going to be a sleeper in that conference. But, of course, I mean, man, TCU and Baylor, they're so, so good. It's so up in the air for me. But if I had to choose, I would say a few sleepers here. I'm going with Michigan State, Ohio State, Arizona, and LSU.
Arizona? What? Yep. Okay. And Al, I'm an LSU fan. I'm a Tiger fan. I'm from deep in the heart of Louisiana.
Yep, I knew you were going to say something about this.
But there's no way they're making the playoff over Alabama, over Auburn. Maybe with Alabama or Auburn. That's a possibility. But over those two? No, if Alabama doesn't make it, because I'd actually like to revise mine and switch around that Alabama pick. I think you make good points, but I still think they should make it. But that Auburn-Alabama Iron Bowl, I think, will decide who gets there from the SEC.
And that's not Arizona. Thoughts. I meant to say Arizona State, Arizona State and LSU. And the thing about LSU, don't sleep on your boys. And this is a stat, and I've done some deep thinking about this. Arizona State, did you know this? Well, excuse me, LSU, did you know this? This is an alarming stat here. In the past 48 plays that they've had against SEC opponents offensively, in the last 48 plays, only 4 of those plays have been passing touchdowns against SEC opponents. That's a crazy, crazy stat. And I know they struggled offensively. Their offense sometimes just becomes stagnant. But I just believe that this team is going to be one of those squads you look at. I believe, what are they, in the SEC West? I think they're going to come out the SEC West. I really do.
I don't see how you can justify not putting in teams like Bama because of the quarterback situation.
It's the quarterback. It's all about the QB.
That's the thing about LSU. Anthony Jennings is terrible. He was horrible last year.
What playmaker does Alabama have?
What playmaker does LSU have not at the quarterback position?
What's my man, Lawrence?
Leonard Fournette.
Excellent.
Leonard Fournette.
He's that guy.
You can't win with a running back alone.
I'm not saying that you can, but LSU has a lot of pieces on both sides of the ball that I think they are going to be very competitive. Don't sleep on them. We're going to mark this bite down, okay? But Bama, we all know that their defense is going to be solid, but I just think there's question marks on that team. I don't think Bama is going to be as good as everyone expects them to be looking at what they've done under the Nick Saban era. Alabama is going to be good this year, no doubt about it, but they're not going to be great.
Yep, okay.
I said
okay.
It. I'm going with ASU, LSU, MSU, and OSU. So there you have that. 5 minutes left. Let's hit our weekend winners. We're going to take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in sports. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
All right. Here we go, ladies and gents. It is Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and bring to you our weekend winners. Who exactly had the best weekend in sports or even beyond that, okay? For me, I got to start off by saluting a man who is now the number 3 player in the world of golf, Jason Day. Wow, he won the Barclays by a half dozen strokes this past weekend. And, if he continues play, he could be knocking on the door of that number one spot. Jordan Spieth, He really struggled this weekend, folks. And he is, you know, due to those struggles this past weekend at the Barclays, he has relinquished that number one ranking to Rory McIlroy. So, yeah, fun stuff. So we talk about Day and McIlroy and Spieth. You know, all three players will be competing in the Deutsche Bank Championship, which begins Friday, concludes Monday. If Day wins and McIlroy and Spieth each finish lower than second place, Day would be the 19th player since the world rankings inception in 1986 to ascend to numero uno. Wow. Crazy stuff. So Jason Day is pretty hot right now. He's my guy.
For me, it's got to be Jake Arrieta, because that no-hitter, not only was it excellent, it was the sixth no-hitter this season, but this is finally shedding some light on a guy who's been excellent throughout the year, 17-6, 6-0 in August with a .34 ERA in August. This guy deserves the attention that he's finally getting, and a guy that a lot of people hadn't even heard of before he pitched this game. So I'm happy that he not only got the no-hitter, put his name in the history books, but he also finally is going to get a little bit of attention. So Jake Arrieta, weekend winner.
Yeah, also, hey, I have to shout out my man Will Smith, because I was talking to you, Isaac, before we took the air here. And, man, this movie looks really, really good. Will Smith's new movie is called Concussion. Will Smith, actually, I believe he plays, let me see if I can bring it up here. He plays Bennett Omalu, the real Pittsburgh forensic pathologist who first discovered a neurodegenerative disease called CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. In the brains of football players. Of course, CTE is the result of repeated brain trauma over time and causes depression, dementia, and other behavioral changes. So Will Smith plays Omalu, and it's an unbelievable. It looks as though it's going to be an unbelievable film. So check it out, man. Just Google it. The trailer came out not too long ago, and it looks like a really, really good movie from one of my favorite actors out there. So definitely check out that.
Al, I'm going to go with a couple of football decisions. First, it's the Buffalo Bills, who actually finally look good this year. They looked great in the preseason. They just named a starting QB, who I think will surprise a lot of people, in Tyrod Taylor. And then the other weekend winner I have in the NFL is both the Falcons and Julio Jones, who just inked a 5-year, $71.25 million contract. That's a lot of moolah. That's also a really good deal, in my opinion, for the Falcons. I think this team could be pretty good going forward.
Really like the Falcons. I also really, really love the Eagles as well, man. The Eagles, they're going to give my Cowboys. It's interesting competition. I can't wait for that Cowboys-Eagles game this upcoming year. You guys know I'm a big, big Cowboys fan. But, yeah, I'm excited just for football to be back, folks. All right, well, we have to say goodbye. We have reached the final minute here on WKRS Current Sports. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to the show with me, Al Martin, right here on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic Monday, and be easy, people.